All right, everybody. This is Sandra Rowland with KPFT Local Station Board. It is now 2:40 p.m. Central Standard Time on Sunday, the 6th of September, 2020, and I am now convening the KPFT Management Selection and Review Committee. Mr. Chair, can you please call the roll?
Okay. Actually, I'm secretary, but okay. Teresa Allen?
I'm sorry.
Teresa Allen is present.
Teresa's here. Adriana Casanave? Can't hear you, Adriana. Bill Crozier's here. Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Lyndon's here. Bob Gartner? Can't hear you, Bob. Patrick Hoyt? Can't hear you, Patrick. Wally James?
Here.
Hey, Wally's here. Dwayne Lark?
Present.
Dwayne is here. Mike Lewis?
Mike Lewis is here.
Mike is here. Marianne Martinez?
Present.
Marianne is here. Susie Moreno? Can't hear you, Susie. Venetia Patel Adams?
Yeah.
Venetia's here. Sandra Rolline? Sanders here. Nancy Sabara Naratomi?
Present.
Nancy's here. Wendy Schrell?
Here.
Wendy's here. Deb Shafto? Can't hear you, Deb. Richard Uzel?
Here.
Richard's here. Rita Washington?
Present.
Rita's here. Sandy Weinman? Heard you earlier, Sandy. Can't hear you now. Ted Weiskel?
Here.
Ted is here. So going back, I didn't hear.
Sandy is here.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
Sandy, got you. Okay, I didn't hear from Adriana, Bob Gartner, Patrick Hoyt, or Susie, or Deb. Any of you here? We have 15 members present, so we have quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Okay, so agenda approval. I sent the agenda out roughly about an hour ago. It is also posted on kpftx.org. It goes as follows. Number one, call to order roll call. We just completed that. Agenda approval, which we are on now. Minutes approval is item number three. Number four is report from previous MSRC chairs regarding past interview product procedures, and that would be for Rita and Venetia Patel to advise us on that. Number five is report from the current MSRC chair regarding PSAs and job posting. Number six, report regarding number of applicants, updated close date, and applicant packets. Number seven is discussion of 2020 search interviewee questions and procedures, and then number eight is next meeting, which will be the executive session on now the 20th of September and adjourn by 4 p.m. Is there anything that anybody wishes to add to that agenda? Hearing none, I would request that someone move that this agenda be approved as stands.
Madam Chair, I just want to ask a question again. May I ask a question? Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Number seven. I'm looking for the. I did a refresh to see where your where the agenda was, and I'm not seeing it quite yet. So I'm just trying to get to the bottom of that. And so once we hear the
report. What are you referring to? Wait. What are you referring to, Teresa? You did a refresh to see where the agenda was?
Yes, to see the agenda that you sent out, and I'm not seeing it yet. But so I'm listening to what you said, and my question is, item number seven, where you say search questions and procedures. So when we get the report from the previous chairs, are we going to have motions to say, oh, that's how we want to do it when we get the
I think you're getting ahead of yourself, Teresa, because we're going to get to that when we get to that item on the agenda.
Well, that's my question.
When we
make actual decisions about what the procedure is going to be, is that going to be item number 7?
I move that we approve the agenda.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what the chair said.
When we get to item 7, that's when we're going to discuss it. That's when your question will be appropriate, and that is when we will make motions if necessary.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so next item up on the agenda would be the minutes approval. Bill, our secretary, did send out minutes from both the August 16th and the 30th meetings that occurred. I looked them over. They look good to me. Does anybody have any questions or corrections? There was a motion to approve it. So are there any objections to approving? I'm sorry.
This is Ted. This is Ted.
Go ahead, Ted.
In the minutes of our last meeting, it says that
Wait a minute. I forgot a step. Lyndon moved that we approve the agenda. I asked if there were any objections. So are you objecting to approving the agenda?
I would like to know. Yes, I have an objection.
Okay, what is your objection?
My objection is that there's nowhere in the agenda where we are going to find out what the status of our website in terms of posting the job, and there's nowhere in the agenda that tells us where our job has been posted throughout the Pacifica network and in other mediums. I would like to know where we will find out how well this job has been promoted.
Okay, Ted, that's already been posted several meetings back. So I would say that would be something that you can take responsibility for. If you want to know where it's been posted, you can go and look at the sites that were listed from the previous meetings. Okay, that being said, are there any objections to approving this agenda?
I may have an objection if I can just ask a question.
Go ahead.
So I didn't really think about what Ted said. I'm not sure if he means it this way, but I think we should have somewhere in the minutes, even in the past minutes, like exactly where stuff has been posted. And I haven't looked. You know, if people say it's there, I'll just take their word. But I do think that should be there, if that makes sense, so that if someone wants to go back and look at exactly what the committee did, it is very important that we have these things in our minutes.
Bill for the stack.
Go ahead, Bill.
The list of where it was posted is in the minutes that I had sent out for the August 16th meeting. It's Appendix B. It's the report that Sandra sent to us, which has the list of all the places they were posted.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, so once again, are there any objections to approving
the agenda?
What is your request?
What Bill just said was, this is where we've sent it. I would like to know whether or not they have been posted at those locations. How do we know that?
Go to those locations and check. Once again, are there any objections to approving this agenda? Hearing none, this agenda is approved. Next item up is minutes approval for the 16th and the 30th. Are there any corrections or comments regarding the minutes?
Bill, I move
this is Richard.
We approve.
I move that.
I move we approve. Well, sorry.
Okay, I was going to do that too. That's okay.
Go ahead, Richard.
I have a correction.
I move that those 2 minutes be approved.
Thank you, Richard. I think I heard Susie.
Yes.
Go ahead, Susie.
I'm just here. I'm just saying I'm here. Because I
thank you.
I was running late. Okay, bye.
Okay, thank you. Ted, what's your correction?
I want to add two words where it says that Bill Crozier assumes
first off,
that...
First off, can you tell us which set of minutes you're looking at?
Thank you. It's our most recent meeting, August the 30th.
Okay.
It's the part of the minutes where it says that you, the chair, Sandra Rawline, left the meeting... And Bill Crozier, I would like to add two words, without authorization, assumed the chair.
Was there objection to Bill taking over the meeting after I left?
Yes. And
by whom?
It was not. Numerous people spoke up and said he was not authorized to be the chair.
And another thing that happened was we extended time, like 6 minutes, I think, after the meeting was supposed to be over. So technically that was illegal.
No.
You guys.
No. We're all
so
bad.
Unnecessary.
It was all illegal. Jesus.
We were just trying to hear the four people on the stack. That's all that was happening. Can't we just let it go?
The
no
record
one else
should reflect what happened. The record should reflect what happened. Not what we don't want to write. So if it happened, reflect it. That's the rule.
No one else volunteered to be chair.
Yeah, so I would
chair.
Say that...
I don't think
I'm
the issue is
I'm not going to make a ruling on this. You can add the words without authorization, but that doesn't sound like what happened. And again, I really think that people are splitting hairs. But okay, if you want to spend your time doing that, you can certainly do that. But I would prefer to move on. So that being said, Madam Chair, Teresa,
I think if we're going to make this addition to the minutes, that I'm opposed to this addition to the minutes. I think it was somewhat obstructive. And there was some chaos there, and I think that we ought to vote whether to add these to the minutes.
Nancy on the stack.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Yes, I'd like to apologize for not being completely clear. At the end of this is before you left the meeting, the last meeting, August 30th meeting, I said it's usually customary that the next officer take over the meeting, but I did not finish it. I mean, it was not really clear. And really what I have seen is that when the chair has to leave and the next officer takes over, they don't become the chair. They become the chair with or chair pro tem with the committee's blessing, and he did not ask for a blessing. We just started rolling on and talking, and it really was not correct. That's all I want to say.
Thank you, Nancy. Okay, so I guess we need to vote whether to add Ted's correction to the minutes, and that would be without authorization on the 30th of August. In the section where it says it is section number 4.
Madam Chair, this is Richard.
Go ahead, Richard.
I would like to amend Ted's motion to say, what do you say, without authorization. I would like that to say without a vote.
And I think I second that because that appears to be most accurate.
Thank you, both of you. Okay, so does anybody object to that correction to Ted's motion that it be phrased without a vote rather than without authorization? Okay, so hearing no objections to that, then we can add that, Bill.
Okay,
and now I guess we need to vote on Ted's original motion. Are there...
Madam Chair, it sounds like
I will withdraw what I've said and let what was just done stand, and we can move on.
Thank you, Ted. Okay, next up would be a report from, or comments, or whatever advice that
Madam Chair, may I be recognized?
What, Teresa?
Can we approve the minutes now?
Sorry, yes. Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes for the 16th and the 30th?
This is Teresa.
And Richard moved it, yeah.
Right. Okay. Are there any objections to the minutes approval? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Dwayne Gardner, request point of information.
Okay. I think I heard Adriana and then Dwayne. Adriana, are you on the call? Okay. Dwayne, go ahead.
Okay. As you know, at the PNB level, our parliamentarian, which we pay for his professional services, has indicated over and over there's no need to approve minutes. I also wanted to point out to Nancy that one of the advantages of electing a vice chair is when something like that happens, it is the parliamentarian rules that the vice chair does have the authority to assume responsibility. But absent a vice chair, you would need to elect a chair for the rest of that meeting, which obviously didn't happen, but thank you.
Okay, thank you. So I'm calling on Rita Washington. I think you did the most recent GM search, and then Venetia, I think you did the one previous to that. And so I would like for both of you, I don't care who goes first, to please share with us your procedures that you used in previous job searches, and I would like you to try to keep it, you know, right at about 5 minutes each, if possible.
Madam Chair, this is Rita Washington. First of all, I didn't realize I was going to be asked to do a report. I don't have one. And besides that, everything that I have done when I was the chair of the committee, I no longer have any of that information. I have a lot of information to keep, so I don't have it. I don't even know what it is. I guess you can go back. Maybe if another member of the committee has it, they can share it. But I myself do not have any information to share with the group. Thank you, Madam Chair.
What about you, Venetia? Do you have any information about past searches that you would like to share with us?
No, I really would. I hope maybe next week Rita can share, because I chaired during the reviews, not during hiring. But I definitely can, as we go through the process, I can help with, like, my process for the reviews were very, like, research-based and very fair. And, I, you know, that's all I really have to contribute, is just sharing maybe how we can make this, like, kind of a research-based hiring process, so that it's just as fair as it possibly can be.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I was on the committee back then, too, at the last search, and we never got written minutes, so only the chair would have them. So I don't know who got them. Maybe
Madam Chair, Dwayne,
what happened to those?
And then Wendy, please. Okay, Dwayne, and then Wendy.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I just can't stand by and allow misinformation to be given out. There were written minutes. Whether the member kept them or not, we had a very tight process and program. We had a chair that was very apt and able and available, and we had a secretary. So why he would say that, I'm not going to go in his mind and determine that, but there were minutes.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Wendy, go ahead.
So in Pacifica, since, you know, the new bylaws came in 2004, I think it was, we've been through lots of these search processes, program director and manager and ED, and So it's just, and sometimes we've used paid search firms, and other times we've done it on our own. There's been lots and lots of notes, and I really apologize because I'm not home. I've also lost a couple of computers since then, but I think that we do have some really good processes that have already been put forward that we followed, and I'm wondering if anybody has any of that documentation, because I know that these things, we don't have to reinvent this every time. And then wasn't there also Tom Livingston's firm, didn't they help Pacifica? Now I can't even remember if it was, I guess it was the ED search.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doesn't anybody have any of that kind of documentation from those different searches?
Madam Chair, I can speak to that.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Since I was on the personnel committee at the time of the ED search under Livingston and Associates, I will note that no one would have any pertinent information regarding that, because Livingston and Associates was paid very good money to do the process, and they did do it. And the personnel committee basically stood aside, and at the end of the process, the personnel committee of the PNB received a certain amount of names that Livingston Associates had determined were most qualified out of the so many names, so many interviews they had gone through. So basically, we did no process other than paying Livingston and Associates very good money to ferret the candidates that they did receive, and we got a short list of about 8 to 10, of which we took to the PNB, and we did then an interview process through Zoom.
Okay. I know Grace Aaron would have been in on some of these previous searches. I think, Sandra, weren't you involved before? When we did the different personnel things, when Mike Martin was chair, we did a very thorough job on stuff. So if anybody has any of those notes, that'd be really appreciated.
Bill for the
Thanks,
time.
Wendy. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I was going to request that Dwayne provide. He said that he got minutes. The rest of us didn't get minutes. But if he has those minutes, please provide them, and that would have the questions
sure
in the process and things like that. It would be very helpful to the committee.
Well, I tell you what. I think what would be helpful to the committee is to not take instructions from, not listen to someone who this committee wouldn't even be doing its work if you had your way with the last referendum.
Okay, guys.
So I definitely wouldn't address anything
please,
that you're requesting.
Please stop.
Because
hey, let's get personal, Dwayne.
None of us would be on this call right
please
now. None
stop.
Of us.
Dwayne,
I'm
please
speaking the
stop
truth. So the facts are,
please
you're speaking
be
out
stop
of turn.
Please stop if he had his way.
Dwayne, you are out of order.
I'm not out of order. I'm speaking
we're,
the truth.
We're, Dwayne, you are out of order. Please stop. I get it. If you
so
have
you
an opinion
on,
and you feel like you need to
I
address
did,
everything, but you do
out,
not
so you
in the course of this meeting.
As I
okay
said, I spoke the truth.
Was, are you done?
Nancy, I'm just back.
Nancy.
Yes. I'd like to add a new business to the agenda, just so that we may not get to it, but at least we remember the thing that impeded the last GM search was after we finished everything, then Markeisha, our business manager, sent us a notification that we did not follow EEO. We only followed EEOC. And EEO, I mean, from my memory, what's the thing that on EEO requirements that we did not do? We did not do a job fair. We did not organize a job fair, and that may be something else, but it's very brief. The EEO.
That's a red herring. That's a red herring.
Okay. Thank you. Dwayne, you have not been recognized.
Yeah, well,
thank you, Nancy.
Didn't do a job fair either, so don't throw all that bull out there.
Dwayne, please stop interrupting, and please ask to be recognized.
Anyway, I'm not finished, Sandra. What I'm saying is that
okay
is what was used to nullify our work for a whole year. And so we don't want that to happen again. And I don't know if it was really – because we went to EEOC and we got it. Everything – we did the checking of all our steps.
That's what John said.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate that input. We have already approved the agenda, so we won't be adding that to this week's agenda. And as far as the EEO and the EEOC are concerned, Cynthia Dobeck from NEDA, our HR person, as well as Lydia, have approved of the process that we've used thus far, as it is in compliance with all necessary entities. So just put that on the record that it is in compliance with all necessary entities.
Okay.
And I want to finish, Sandra. Let me finish. We need to be thinking, another new business, a plan B. If we cannot pay a prospective candidate, then we need to think about a volunteer management team, maybe three people, or a volunteer PD team. I mean, we need to think about that, too. That's all.
Thank you, Nancy. Okay, going next to the item number 5 on the agenda is my report. It's very brief. Thank you. First, I would just want to thank everybody for your involvement in creating and getting those PSAs into the PSA rotation on KPFT. It was a lot of work by a lot of people, and I do appreciate it, so thank you for that. They are being aired. I have requested the report of the PSA schedule and requested a report of, you know, documentation so that we would have it for our record. It has been noted by the general manager. The engineer has not responded to anything that I've sent, so I will be following up with them to see if I can get an actual report showing dates and times in which PSAs were aired. But I'm just really grateful that they are actually being aired. As far as the job posting, it got posted on kpft.org, but it is not the job posting that I requested to be posted, and they got the date as the 13th of September instead of the 10th. That being said, I checked. Since it is posted in a public domain, we have to go with the latter date. So the actual close date for the job applicants' resumes to be submitted is midnight on the 13th of September, which is a week from today. I was a little disappointed that that happened. Not quite sure who authorized the change in date. Have not gotten a response to my inquiry about that. I decided I'm just going to let it go. 3 extra days for people to submit their applications is not going to kill us. So I'm hoping that this committee will be in agreement with me on that. 3 extra days is 3 extra days to possibly find that magical person that can fill those very big shoes. So that's what it, thank you. I'm not done speaking yet, Nancy. Okay, so that's regarding the PSAs and the job posting. So now we'll take a step. Nancy, do you have a question or a comment?
Yes. I'd like to apologize. When I sent the text of the PSA to a whole, I made a mistake and I wrote 13 instead of 10.
Okay, well, thank you, Nancy.
Respectful and mute.
Thank you for acknowledging.
Yes.
Thank
and
you for acknowledging that, Nancy.
Okay, please don't interrupt, Sandra, when I'm trying to talk. And so I asked Bobby what's going on, and he caught it right away. He caught the mistake, and he called Lydia, and Lydia told him, "Okay, that thing is running. Just send it on the kpft.org to September 13th." But she made the What is all this noise? I'm finished.
All right. Nancy.
Answer this, Jack.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Marianne.
Marianne, go ahead.
This is what I want to find out. I want to find out what's going on with those confidentiality forms, and I'll tell you why. Because we all have to remember one thing, that somebody went and did something that was illegal, that could have gotten the foundation in a lot of trouble, And they went and they tried to make some kind of a deal with one of the applicants or something to that effect. I don't know the exact details, but I know that it was very unethical. Now, one of the things that confidentiality agreement is supposed to provide is for everyone to agree to not be taking part in that kind of behavior. And so I noticed that there was a list that Sandra put out earlier today with so many people that still haven't turned in those forms. And before any other information, important or confidential information, gets out, I think that those people should explain why they have not turned in their form. Is it because they can't get them to print out on their computers? They don't have computer access, or they don't know, or they, what is the problem? You can hand them in physically if that would help. But it's been over a month, I think, that this process has been going on, and or maybe 2 months. And I don't understand what the holdup is. And that's my question. The people that haven't turned in those forms, why haven't you turned them in?
Wendy, to the
staff.
Thank you,
Marianne. Wendy, go ahead.
Oh, so I wasn't really going to talk on that, but I mean, I'm sorry that I took such a long time to do mine, but could everybody else please just do it? Or is it, I mean, if this is always going to be a confidential committee, so if anybody doesn't want to sign it, they could just resign from the committee. And then, but then I think you still need to send it, sign it as an LSB member, so that won't help it either. But what I wanted to ask about, hold on just a second, this dog distracting me. I totally forgot what I was getting on the stack about, so I'll be back in a minute. Sorry.
Thank you, Wendy, and thank you, Marianne. I did send out two specific people. There were a total of 8 people. Nancy has tried to send her several times now, and it doesn't come through in a legible manner that constitutes an executed confidentiality. So I will be working with Nancy individually so that I can get assigned one from Nancy, but she has shown her good faith intent, and I believe that everybody else will do their due diligence and they will do what they need to do as far as executing the documents and getting them to me. If they don't, then they won't have access to the information, and that's all there is to it. So I did resend them. I sent the one that I got from Adriana, and I also sent the one that we had from a while back. So people can choose, the remaining people can choose whichever one they want to sign. Sign it, date it, take a picture of it, email it to me, or make a copy of it and send me the original via snail mail. And we still have some time, so it's nothing to sweat about right now, Marianne, but I do appreciate your concern. I understand. I've heard
you
a little bit.
It just seems that this process has been going on all summer, and we're going into the fall now.
I know. But,
Wendy,
you know, that's kind of how things happen when you know, when you're in Pacifica. And, I apologize for that, but everybody's grown up and everybody knows what they need to do. So I'm not going to call anybody out for not getting it in to me today, but I am encouraging those of you that have not signed it and sent it in to please do so. And I've already talked to a couple other people who said absolutely they'll get to it. Part of the problem is that not everybody has a printer or access to a printer, and some people don't have access to a scanner. You know, so there's varying reasons why people haven't turned them in, but I'm not going to beat up anybody about it. It's not necessary. But I do appreciate your concern. So thank you, Marianne.
Request for information.
Snail mail.
And bill for the stack.
And that could have been sent in a long time ago. A mail.
I agree. Okay. But like I said, we don't need to go down that road. Okay, so I think it was Bill and then Wendy and then Ted.
I have a request for information.
What's your request for information, Ted?
I'm wondering where we are at in today's agenda. I hear us talking about this confidentiality agreements. I don't see that that's number 5 or 6 in our agenda. Where are we in the agenda?
Number five was the agenda report about the PSAs and the job posting. I've already done that. Bill and Wendy had something. Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I was going to say I've offered, and I think other people offered, if somebody doesn't have a printer and has too much trouble with this, just let us know. We'll mail you a hard copy. You can sign it and mail it back to Sandra. But we need your address, and we need to know. So, you know, ask me or ask another friend, whoever you want, and we can mail it to you. It'll take a day or two, and it's faster than this month. And Marianne's right. It's taking way too long.
Thank you.
I object to mail-in voting.
Teresa for the stack.
Wendy, and then Teresa, and then Richard.
Okay,
and
thanks. I appreciate, too, Nancy telling us about where that date came from on the posting, but I just wanted to put in a plea here. This is the most non-email-using LSB I've ever been on. There's a lot of this stuff that we could know about, you know, or take care of in email, and that would have been a perfect thing to say, hey, you know, send an email to the committee. This is why the date's different on that thing. And then we wouldn't have even had to talk about it on the meeting. That's all. I just wish that people used email better on this board and these committees, because what we only seem to do is just we all attack Bill on those emails. We don't talk about the important business of the committee. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Wendy. Okay, and then I think Teresa and then Richard. Teresa?
Ted would like to be on the stack.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, Teresa. Okay,
thank
Ted,
you.
I've got you on the stack.
Okay. To the chair, I will reiterate, I would be happy if there are people who want paper copies of the applications. I would be happy to help deliver them. You said that you would maybe set up something where you will be at the station, but if there's anyone that cannot be there when you were there at the station, I would be happy to help deliver them. So you're not doing that.
Thank you.
I have a question. Let's say we have 20 applications, and we're getting the confidentiality agreements from the whole LSB. Is the whole LSB going to be involved in the decision about the first cut?
No, that's the job of the committee. The four members that are not on this committee, will get copies of whoever makes the final cut.
Okay, so will they be? So the four members of the four members of the LSB that are not on this committee, they will not be involved in any part of the process of, ranking or selecting. Is that correct?
Not until it gets to the LSB level, Teresa. They're not on this committee, so no, they won't be participating in selecting out of the pool of candidates that we currently have. They will only be participating on the full LSB level when the entire LSB decides which of the candidates this committee puts forward will be presented to Lydia Brazon.
So then they'll be involved in the last cut.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Richard?
As Cheryl Crow said, the first cut is the deepest. I didn't have anything to say.
I think it was actually Pat Stevens that said it first. So I've got Ted is next. So Bill and then Susie. Okay, go ahead, Bill.
Okay, I think we're on item seven, discussion of the...
Sorry, stop. It's Ted's turn.
Sorry.
We skipped Ted. Sorry, Ted.
Thank you. I just went to the KPFT website, and what it says is incomplete. It goes to a statement where it says, go to Pacifica's, and then it has in brackets, dot, dot, dot. It's the number one item currently on the website, which is very good, but the fact that it is not a complete statement is not good at all. I want this process to move along as quickly as possible, but if we do not have candidates coming to us from other cities besides Houston, then I think we have failed. I've been looking at the handbook for Pacifica, and it talks about making every effort to achieve diversity in staffing, which includes the general manager. And if we don't make this job known beyond Houston, then I think we have failed. I think we need to look at the possibility of moving the deadline. I do see all of these different places in the minutes of our, not the most recent meeting, but the meeting before that. But if we are not getting applications from other cities, I beseech the committee to extend the deadline. But certainly our own website is not adequate. Unless somebody knows something different from what I just saw by using my cell phone to look at what's posted right now. I'm done.
Thank you. Okay, Bill is next, and then Susie.
Okay, thanks. Well, Ted's right about the website being inadequate. That's been that way for a long time. And what it doesn't say, and this has been a long-standing problem, and I know there have been a lot of complaints, is you have to know to click on the title of the article to read the whole thing. It doesn't say that. You just have to know that. And so that's the problem with this and many other postings on our website. I think, Ted, if we look at all the applications and if we decide there are not enough of them or there's not enough diversity or they're not adequate, the committee could choose to change the deadline and extend it. But, you know, and we may have to change things anyway because, like Nancy was saying, we may have to just look for people willing to work for free as a volunteer for some indefinite amount of time. But I think we should look at what we have, what we get after the September 13th deadline and see what we can do. What I was going to say, though, is that the whole LSB getting the applications, actually, I should only send it to people on the LSB who have sent back a confidentiality agreement. So maybe we should ask all of the LSB to sign those so that they can get the packets once the committee is done. And also, I'd like to stress, I think we should, as a recommendation, I think we should send suggested questions. If anybody has the minutes from the last search or interview process or think of any other questions you know of, a lot of us have been involved in interviews in the past, send them to the chair, send them to Sandra, and then she can send those back out to people who've signed the confidentiality agreement. Because I think even the questions should not be distributed publicly. Does that make sense? Because
thank you, Bill.
The questions could potentially give certain applicants an advantage if they know what's going to get asked.
Exactly.
And if the other applicants don't know that.
I agree, and that goes back to what Wendy had said before, and I was going to address that at some point, but who's kind of getting sidetracked. It's almost 3:30 now, and if we're going to have a good discussion regarding the interviewee questions and procedures for this particular search, then we need to kind of wrap up what I have left to do here, and that is the report regarding the number of applicants, the close date, and the applicant packets. Several people have already commented on that. So the number of applicants as of today, I specifically
Sandra,
checked
today.
Can
Sandra.
I please finish?
Well, I was supposed to speak next.
Oh, Susie, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Susie.
I was just going to say it's quick and brief, is that I don't remember that the entire LSB, and I'm almost pretty sure that the entire LSB got to pick the applicants or to see any of the resumes at all. And the other thing I wanted to say is I think I might have some of those questions, so I'll go back to see if I have something and sometimes I keep a lot of paperwork. I'm not really good with the computer.
Yay.
So I might have some of those questions that we asked the applicants at the last time. I'll go back and look. So, and I'm pretty sure that the entire LSB was not involved. I don't know. Can somebody help me with that, Rita or Dee?
You're right. The committee, that's why we have a committee.
Exactly, exactly. That just really,
if anyone was involved,
they should be in the committee.
Well, there's 20 members of the LSB on this committee, so thank you, Susie. I do appreciate that. And yes, if you can find any of the previous questions, that would be great too.
Okay, so I'm
going to go on to item number 7 of the report of the agenda, or I'm sorry, item number 6, which is the report on the number of applicants, the updated close date, and the applicant packets. Okay, so the number of applicants as of today is a total number of 8. There is one applicant who submitted their information twice. So there are only 8 applicants to be reviewed at this time. The updated close date is currently the 13th. Thank you to Nancy for clarifying how that exactly happened. And as far as the applicant packets, I will be sending them via email to those people who wish to receive them via email and who can print them out and review them on their own. But that's in the interest of saving paper. For all of the people who want a hard copy hand-delivered, I will be happy to do that. I will be sending out a query to everybody individually to find out how many packets I actually need to put together by next weekend or the following day after the close date. So that's really all I have to say about the number of applicants, the updated close date, and the applicant packets. Does anybody have any questions?
I do. Ted for the stack.
And Teresa Allen for the stack.
Ted and Teresa.
From what cities are these 8 applicants?
I have.
Can you tell us that?
At the cities, Ted, all they get is an automated reply, thank you for replying, or thank you for applying. So I'm not looking at anything ahead of time. I'm sure that Lydia and Janet Coburn are looking at them. I know that on the previous call that Adriana corrected me when I said there were only 8 applicants because she had been in communication with Janet Coburn, who told her there were 9. I went on and I looked today specifically before this meeting to see if there were any additional applicants that I might have missed, and none were there. There are a total of 9 emails in that inbox. All of them have received their automated reply, and there was one person who submitted their information twice. So it makes it look like there's 9 applicants, but there is, in fact, only 8. Teresa,
May I follow up with one quick question, and that is, can we have on our agenda for next week's meeting the question of extending the deadline? Can I place that on the agenda now?
You can request that I put it on there, but that will be a matter of the body to decide if they want to extend it. I think we should look at what we've got first. Teresa, you're next.
You're waiting to the stack.
Okay, Teresa and then Dwayne. Teresa, we can't hear you.
Sorry.
Can you hear me? Says here.
And okay, Madam Chair, do you want Ted to speak some more before I speak or no?
I thought Ted was done. Were you not finished, Ted?
Can't hear you, Ted.
Okay, go ahead, Teresa.
I want to be sure that I think that we should have an executive session where we discuss what the salary range is going to be, and because I have been involved in a search where the people were not told until the final 3 what the salary was, and then one of the people who had been actually flown in for the interview said, well, I'm not interested in the job at that salary. So at some point, we need to make it clear what the salary is. Also, if we're really interested in people from out of town, we need to make it clear we need to understand whether or not we're going to assist with any move. Because I think if you want a professional, we need to know whether we're going to assist anybody because nobody's going to apply from Maine or South Carolina if they're not assisted with that move. So just a thought. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Dwayne? Hello, Dwayne?
Yep. Deb is back on the call.
Okay. We're listening to Dwayne right now, Ted.
That's fine.
Okay. Go ahead, Dwayne. I think we all know that we have money issues. We have budgeting issues. We have fundraising issues. And to suggest, even from the Treasury, who's probably more fully aware, that there's no money to pay someone for moving expenses. In fact, our national, who has hired at least 2 EDs in the last 3 years, have not paid for any moving expenses. That's, on the face of it, it's just not even a starter. Most individuals who are high-level execs get moving expenses, but mid-level execs, this would be anybody making $60,000 to $70,000, which is probably the most any entity like us would consider to pay. That's a non-starter about moving expenses. An individual is going to make that decision based on their ability and their proximity to the job in the first place. Now, the subsequent question I have is, would 30 days be extended, or would it be 34 days by September 14th, the deadline that's been set, or the last most recent deadline that's been set?
Thank you, Dwayne. That would be up to the body of this committee how far they want to extend.
That's not what I'm asking. I'm not talking. Okay, let me rephrase the question. What date was the last posting, which I think you referred to as stating September 14th? What day did that go up?
The last posting was done on, I believe it was August the 7th. They started the posting started going up on August the 3rd, and I believe the last posting, aside from KPFT, which that was just done this past week, but everywhere else it was between August the 3rd and August the 7th, and that is the reason why I made September the 10th the original close date. But now the close date is the 13th of September. Is that
okay,
what you're
so
asking?
Now you're- Well, kind of, sort of, but when you kind of got me when you said on the most main source for the job posting, which is our own website. I mean, anybody looking to work for us, likely, even if they hear about it, they can't find it anywhere else. They're going to come to our website. And you said that it was posted on what day?
On KPFT?
Yes.
It was one day this week. I couldn't tell you the exact day.
Well, that certainly wouldn't be 30 days, and I think most professional entities at least post for 30 days. So I think it's problematic setting a 14th date, given that if it's on our website, it hasn't even been on our website for 30 days. If you have any concern about posting requirements, whether it's CPB or EEO or EEOC or whatever, you might need to consider that.
Okay, thank you, Dwayne. All right, so that's really all I have to say about item number 6. Item number 7.
I was speaking when I was cut off. May I finish my thought?
Go ahead, Ted. I'm sorry, was there somebody else?
Bob Gartner.
Bob, okay. Bob, you're after Ted. Ted, go ahead.
The question was raised about who makes the decision. And I'm reading from Article 7, Section 3 of our bylaws, and it says that one of the duties of the local station board is to screen and select a pool of candidates for this position and then to pass that pool on to the executive director. It also says the LSB may appoint a special subcommittee for this purpose. I do not think that the LSB has voted to give this committee final authority on selecting a pool. I think that we have to bring it to the LSB before it is then sent on to the executive director.
Wendy.
Teresa, for
okay,
the staff.
Just wait, stop. We're wasting time here, folks. We already know the process. Everybody who wants to be on the MSRC is on the MSRC. We are the committee that was formed out of the LSB to do this work. We're doing it to the best of our ability. Once we have a chance to review the applicants that we have received thus far, it is the job of this committee to say, yeah, they all look great, or no, that one doesn't look so good, or whatever the decision is. This committee consists of 20 members of the LSB. So those other four members, if they were interested in being on this committee, they would be on it. It's a matter of us doing the job and then presenting it to the entire LSB to decide if they agree, those other four people, if they agree with what we've decided. And from there, it's going to go to our executive director. And we don't need to
be... That's what I said.
Well, I don't know why you have to keep saying it over and over again, because everybody that's on this committee already knows this. I would think that they would know it. If they don't, I think I just clarified it. Okay, so can we please continue on to the next item, which is going to be item number 7, a discussion regarding the 2020 search, interviewee questions, and procedures. So I know that everybody has ideas, and Wendy had asked about it before. Susie, please stop, Teresa. Susie has already indicated that she thinks that she may have access to some of those questions. I believe that I may have access to some of the similar questions when I was the chair of the 2009 PNB Personnel Committee, and we interviewed people for our executive director position at that time. We did it the old-fashioned way. We didn't hire a search firm to look for us. We did it all on our own. So there's a list of questions that I think I've got, I hope I still have somewhere, and I would like to send those out to everybody. And I would like everybody on this committee to send me questions that they think would be pertinent. Like, I don't really want to go into all of the questions that I can think of, but reasonable questions that are apropos to why this person is applying for the job, why they think they're qualified, you know, and then when it comes to the salary, realistically, we don't have a salary to pay. We don't have money to pay anybody. So I don't even know how we're going to address that. But I would just recommend that everybody think about what are pertinent questions that you would like if you were going to be the person hiring this person, if you were going to be that person doing the interview, what would you want to know about that candidate?
Point of information.
Think of it in those terms so that you can come up with some reasonable questions that we can pose to our potential candidates. I'm sorry, who was that?
This is Susie. I also need.
And Bill for the stack.
Marianne for the stack.
Did you hear Wendy? So I think I have Susie, Wendy, Bill, and Marianne.
Yes. And Dwayne.
Marianne. Dwayne. Okay, so go ahead, Susie.
I kind of want to make a quick statement that that's what we did. We all just had a question and we all put that together. All of us had a question that we wanted to submit, and that's what we did. I remember doing that. Just exactly what you just said. So that's the
idea. Thank you, Susie. Okay, Wendy?
So I was just going to suggest that we could all send in our questions to our email list, and then narrow them down next time, perhaps. Like, and it makes it easier if we all have the same subject line, like possible interview question or something like that, and we all send them in and look at them and do it that way, because it would be really hard to hash that all out over the phone starting from nothing. And also I wanted to suggest, like, I hate those kind of interviews where everybody is asked the same question, but I'm reminding myself that this is the first interview only, because I like to see who the person is, you know, and so if they're all having to answer just these same questions, they don't necessarily get to do, you know, to shine yet, or, you know, to tell us who they are, but that could happen in a subsequent interview if we don't figure out how to include something like that in the first one.
Thank you.
Are you there?
What did you say? Who did you say? Your voice cut. Who are you calling to speak?
I'm calling on Bill to speak. It sounds like he may have been dropped.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear that. I'm here. I just couldn't hear you. Maybe I'm overly paranoid, but you know, knowing what the questions are going to be could really give applicants an unfair advantage. Certain applicants. So, I'm suggesting that even the questions only go to the people who have signed the confidentiality agreement. If that makes sense, then maybe we could send them to you, Sandra. You could send them back out to just those people, and then if we have additional ones, we can reply all to that list, you know, with a caution not to send this to other people on the committee who haven't signed the confidentiality agreement yet. Does that make sense?
That does. Thank you. Okay, Marianne?
Wendy already answered my question, but I agree with Bill that, you know, that until everybody turns in their forms, we have to proceed with caution.
I agree. I'll send out the list of my suggested questions to the people that are on this committee that I have signed confidentiality agreements for. And that will include Nancy because, like I said, she has given a good faith effort to try to get it to me. It's just a technologically challenging situation. So please take note that I will start the question email chain, and I will make it a specific subject line so that people will know what they're looking at. Okay, thank you, Marianne. Dwayne?
Okay. First, this issue of confidentiality and worried about people compromising the system, it happened, as Marianne referred to last time. And some of the members on this call knew, had full knowledge and firsthand proof of it, but they still chose not to sanction the person or to censure the person or not hold the person in responsibility, responsible because it was their friend. So even if it happens, this idea that I'm so concerned I may be paranoid, yes, you are. Because the fact of the matter is, if a person has a question and know how to answer a question, I don't think that's going to change your decision about whether you think that person is the most qualified. It ought to be based on their record. It ought to be based on their experience. It ought to be based on their vision. Maybe even their education in terms of training, professional training, not of how to answer a question. But more importantly, I think the process itself needs to be agreed upon because it's the second most important part that we're doing. The most important part, obviously, is the choosing of the person who makes the cut. But the second most important part is us agreeing on what the process would be. For instance, I don't want canned questions. I don't even feel like it's necessary for you to know what we have. Two levels of questioning. We have what is called basic questioning, which goes out, hopefully, and these individuals have an opportunity to respond in writing, so we don't have the redundancy and the time-consuming effort of hearing someone ask a question that's a basic question. What is your experience? What is your vision? What makes you qualified for this job? What separates you from other candidates? On and on and on and on. Those questions should be submitted to those candidates
so that all of us can see their responses in writing. Then, as it was with the last two processes we did, when you just pass one or two questions for 20 members on this committee, you're at 2.5 hours. So most of this stuff needs to be done beforehand, before live interviews, so we can get a feel of the person and be able to make a cognizant decision about the qualifications of the person, and you're not worried about you didn't get to ask 5 questions because you're not going to get to ask 5 questions in person anyway. Thank you.
Thank you, Dwayne. Those are all very valid points. I agree. We also need to take into consideration how we're going to interview when we get to the point of interviewing. But, yes, the basic questions of each candidate, I think that the committee can come up with basic questions and then individual questions for individual candidates once we've had a chance to look at the resumes. So we can start with the basic questions in writing and get those submitted and get everybody's agreement on that. And then once we've had a chance to look at the resumes, I think it would be really good to come up with, you know, specific questions for specific candidates. So that's, we've got our work cut out for us. Of course, we're going to have to do a lot of it via email. But it can be done. I mean, we don't really have much of an option as far as the interview process itself. We start with the basic questions in writing, and then when we escalate to an actual interview, I'm kind of thinking personally that we should maybe try to do a Zoom meeting so that we can see the person and kind of get to meet them that way. I mean, I really hate the fact that we can't. I really hate the fact that we cannot meet people in person because of this COVID. But you know, it's just we're living in strange times. And we have to adapt.
Point of information, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
I'd just like to ask for informational purposes that in our last process, half of the individuals did not live in Houston, so it was impossible to meet them in person. So COVID really has not affected that much. And at the PNB level, we never meet them. I would say never, meaning the last two I've been involved in certainly have not been met in person. All of the local as well as the national have been on Zoom. So COVID has not affected that really.
Okay, thank you. But does anybody else have any comments or questions regarding the interview questions and search process? Teresa, go ahead. We can't hear you, Teresa.
I'm sorry. I was involved in a process on the PNB. What we did was we underwent a cut the recipients of applicants down to about 7, and then we did phone interviews with those 7, and we came up with 3, and those 3 we flew in for the interview. So, but you know, at that time you didn't have Zoom, or we never even really thought of Skype. So, I'm assuming for sure that we could set up a Zoom meeting to ask questions, and I don't know whether we would want to do it with. Let's say we have. If we only have 8 applicants, are we going to try to cut the applicants down to like 5, and then have 5 interviews where we ask them the questions, and then cut it down from there to 3, and that's what we submit to the national interim director, or are we going to decide, when are we going to decide how, what is our, baseline for the first cut?
I think that really depends on the applicants that we review on the 20th.
Are we going to then schedule a confidential meeting?
I've already scheduled it, Teresa, for the 20th, and it's an executive session.
Okay, the 20th. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you.
So my hope is that I have everybody's confidentiality agreements in hand before the 13th. On the 14th, I will have the packets printed up and distribute them, hopefully the 14th and the 15th. Like I said, the people that are willing to save trees will allow me to email them the applicant information. And those people who wish to have hard copies, I'm happy to print those packets up and make sure that everybody gets them, that wants them. So that by the 20th, people will have had at least a few days' time to look over what we've got and, number one, decide, do we need to extend and find a wider pool of candidates? Number two, do we like all of these candidates, or are there some that just glaringly say they don't belong in Pacifica? And then to try to whittle down, you know, how many. I mean, we may decide that we like all eight of them and that all of them are qualified and we want to talk to all of them, you know. So it's going to be a step-by-step process, but I can't think of a more fair way to do it than to just look at what we get and decide from there. I mean, there's really no way we can decide until after we've looked at them, so. Go ahead.
I see what you're saying, but I think it is actually better if we kind of assume that we will like all eight and figure out the process from there. And if we need to change it, we need to change it. But I feel very strongly that, and I don't think it will take a lot of time. And if we don't want to do it now, we can do it over email and kind of vote on it or whatever at the next meeting. But I do think it's a good idea that we really figure out, like, you know, just figure out our process before we have these applications. Again, I see what you're saying, that we might have to change. Like, what if they're all just, like, fucking neo-Nazis or something? But we think we should assume that most of them, you know, are going to be fine. And I think we should really plan the process. Like, when I mean plan it, I mean, say, this is the deadline for questions. This is the deadline for when we as a committee are going to have our questions. This is the deadline for, you know, if we have written questions, for when they send it back and all that stuff. I feel very, very strongly we need to do that now. And then if we need to make changes, we can make changes as that happens.
Okay, so that's a good idea.
Ted for the stack.
Sorry. I think, okay, everybody spoke at once. I couldn't hear. I think I heard Ted, and I think I heard Bill. Was somebody else?
Teresa for the stack.
Okay. Ted, Bill, Teresa, was there somebody else? Okay, go ahead, Ted. By the way, folks, we are at about 10 minutes till 4, according to my clock. So we've only got about 10 more minutes. So please try to keep it brief so that we can come to some conclusions at the end of this comments. Ted, go ahead.
Chair, I don't know if you heard Bob Gardner about the meeting.
Okay, Ted, Bill, Teresa, Bob. Ted, go ahead.
On pages 164 and 165 of the 11th edition of Robert's Rules of Order, they have a section called Filling Blanks, which tells you how to narrow down a pool of people to the ones that you want to interview. I urge the chair to read that and follow it, since it is our rules. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I'm familiar with that filling blanks. I'm not sure that would help us here, because what we need to do, and I've been involved in a lot of interviews in the past, not just Pacifica, and you always get applicants that really aren't qualified. And, you know, we need to be objective. We need to look at the job description that's been this committee approved and management's approved and it's been posted. And I think when we get the applications, each of us needs to look at it. We need to do our homework. And then at the meeting we're going to have, whenever the next one is, hopefully soon, I think we should individually in each one just vote yes or no whether we think they're worth looking at further. Doesn't mean we're going to hire them, but it just means we're going to look at them further, because there's no point wasting our time on people that don't meet the basic requirements. And I think that would be a relatively quick way of narrowing the pool so that we can concentrate on the ones that look interesting. And if it looks like there's too few of them, then we could decide if we need to extend the deadline. But let's don't extend the deadline until we see if we have some qualified people. And by that time, I think we're going to also have to decide, do we have to tell them that we can't pay them? Because I think that's actually coming up. It's probably going to be likely. Or at least we can't pay them for some indefinite amount of time until they can help us get our act together and get, you know, the revenue up so that we can pay them and other staff. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Bill. I think Teresa, next. I'm sorry?
I said that would reduce the pool automatically. It's a great idea. We maybe should have done it on the announcement. And that way we'd have had many people who wouldn't if they knew that from the get.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Dwayne, but it's Teresa's turn. Teresa? Teresa, are you muted?
Yes, thank you. I am open to any suggestions from board members who can suggest what we can do to make sure that we have a salary when we hire this person. What we need to do now to make sure that we at least have a salary. Okay, second thing, so Dwayne, if you have a suggestion, I'm open. The second thing is I think that Bill is right that on the 20th, we need to look at whoever has been nominated, who has submitted their application, and vote up and down. Because if they're not qualified, then we will know whether we don't have a big enough pool and whether we need to extend. So my question is, do I need to put this in writing that this is our process, that on the 20th, people seeing the applications, we're going to vote yes or no or up or down on each applicant as to whether to go further?
I think we can decide on that right now, but yes, I would like for you to put that in writing. So that's a motion by you that on the 20th that we will up or down the applicants that we have received by the close of the 13th.
Yes. Yes. And then my second...
Put that in writing.
Okay, so I will do that so we can vote on that. Unless the secretary has taken it from what you've just said. What do you think, Bill?
I would simply ask, does anybody have an objection to us doing that with the applicants that we received by close of business on the 13th? Okay, nobody's objecting to that, so I would say that's a given. On the 20th, we will vote whatever applicants we received by the 13th up or down.
Okay.
And then we will decide whether or not to extend or how we want to go forward from there.
Okay, and then I would also like to ask whether there's an understanding that we will have received a pool of questions, and we will, in that executive session on the 20th, whether we will go through those pool of questions to at least get 20 questions, and if we need to set another meeting, we can do that to narrow it down, but at least come up with an original pool of questions for interviews.
I think I already stated that the deadline for the questions would be the 13th, which is the close of the candidates. I don't know. Does anybody have objections to that? That gives everybody a week. Nancy, are you objecting or are you?
Yes.
Okay, Nancy wants to be on the staff.
Well, not exactly, but kind of.
Okay, well, Bob is next. Bob is next, so let's let Bob talk. We haven't heard from him all meeting. Oh, and it's almost 4 o'clock, so do we need to extend time for a few more minutes so we can finish this up?
Teresa Allen moves that we extend 10 minutes to finish this up.
Thank you. Any objections? Okay, hearing none, we will conclude by 4:10. Okay, Bob, are you there?
Yeah.
Did you have something that you wanted to say? We can hear you now. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think before you do any interviews or at the moment of the interview, applicants need to be told whether or not they're going to be paid. And I personally sort of in the
Party here.
Maybe, What?
Yeah, Bob, is there some music in the background or something? I can barely hear what you're saying.
Can you go outside the hall? Can you hear me now?
Speak louder. Okay, go ahead. Try again.
I said the applicants need to be notified before they're interviewed that they're not going to be paid, if that's the case. Did you hear that?
Yes, yeah, so I agree. We need to figure out, you know, what's going to happen between now and the 20th, you know, if we're going to be able to pay them or not.
Because, you know, it's a big waste of time for people that have to eat. And the other thing I wanted to say, which is maybe akin to what Ted wants on the agenda next time, is that I haven't heard but one or two of the PSAs, and the sound level, thus the sound quality, is octaves lower than the regular programming, and it's almost inaudible, in my opinion. I don't know if anyone else feels that way.
All right. Thank you, Bob. The one I heard sounded okay, but we still don't have a report from our engineer or from the general manager as to what days and times they've been played. So we would like to have a record of that. We may have to just extend everything because of that anyway, but, you know, that's to be decided. I think, Nancy, you're next, and then Wendy.
Ted for the stack.
Wendy, and then Ted. Okay, Nancy, go ahead.
Okay, last time when we were making the questions up, it got very stimulating hearing other people's questions. And then we were running, you know, late, and Rita said, we better vote on a time, a deadline to get all the questions in. And so we voted on only a certain amount of questions. And then I thought, wow, we were really percolating, and we voted on some questions, yes, that were used, but there were questions that were not used that were really good. And so I think to hide questions from the committee it will be a disadvantage for influencing and stimulating us. So I don't think it's good, and we don't know all the questions are going to be used now because we have to vote on them. That's one thing. And then that's why you said by the 20th, vote them up or down on the questions. So is that right? 20th, yeah. So like all of the candidates, and we want to extend, we don't want to embarrass the ones that did apply, they didn't like us, so they extended. So I think the way we word our announcement has to be very sensitive and delicate. And then I wanted to say we did video, live streaming video, and anybody in the committee could click in and listen to the interviews, and we could see them, and that was really interesting. I don't know if that was the best, that they had their best, you know, I don't know what is the best, but it was interesting to see their physical delivery, and so it was kept in a certain time period with certain passwords so that people who had to work during that time in on the committee could go in later and see the video. So we had a chance for everybody in the committee to see it, and then live or later, the video. And then about the hard copies, I'm sorry, I'm talking too much, about hard copies, distributing them at the station, can we rethink that? Because I think that's an unnecessary COVID-19 exposure. I mean, if the things are on a safe place where only we, the committee members, can view it, I think it's unnecessary for you to go to the station and then everybody coming. I think that's a danger. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Wendy?
So we have to proceed as if we have money to pay this person. That's not a job if not. I mean, if we happen to get to the point where we find somebody great or get some of it narrowed down and see that we're actually running out of money, that could be part of the interview process to find out some what these applicants think. I mean, they're going to need to know that a lot of this fundraising needs to start with them anyway. I mean, it's a job that pays money. We have to proceed as if it is. And we could raise money if we get, you know, especially with an exciting new leader, we'll be able to raise money if we get that far. I apologize for not doing this before, but I was just, while I was sitting here, looking up best practices for hiring committees at nonprofits to, you know, executive searches at nonprofits. So I'm going to go ahead and send some of these tips to you guys that should be things that can help us. But I really do hope that people will look through their records and find stuff that they had from the last searches that we've done in Pacifica. And that's all. It is a paid position. We just have to figure out how to get them the money.
Teresa,
and maybe they'll have some ideas on that, too.
Thank you, Wendy. Ted is next, then Teresa, then Dwayne, and we are out of time almost.
What was said about paying people, we are currently paying, as I understand it, our interim general manager and our business manager. Perhaps we can reduce the salaries to those people so that we can pay the new general manager. Regarding the idea about voting to cut the pool in half, that is consistent with the filling blanks approach to Robert's Rules. I'm done.
Thank you, Ted. Teresa, we can't hear you.
I had asked whether we needed to, I guess if we are going to vote up or down, do we need to have a threshold? I guess if we want to talk about salary for the new general manager, I'm not seeing a KPFT finance committee meeting scheduled on KPFTX. I guess I can put, is Adriana on this call?
No.
Yeah. We're supposed to come up with a budget, and I guess I need to schedule, I guess I'll schedule it if I don't hear from Adriana. I'll call Adriana and ask about that, but if anybody has any thoughts of on the budget, we're supposed to be coming up with a plan, and that will be discussed on the National Finance Committee Tuesday night. And we had asked our interim general manager, and all the general managers were asked to come up with a plan for this year. Back in June, and I had not seen that yet. I guess I thought it was being worked on, but I haven't seen it. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. I think it was somebody asked to be on the stack. Who was that?
Dwayne.
I have Dwayne next. Did somebody else ask to be on the stack?
Bill.
Okay. Dwayne and then Bill.
Well, I would first start with saying, obviously, the member who said that we would reduce existing salaries really don't understand personnel law or employment law, certainly not California employment law. And since these individuals who are on staff and who will be on staff operate under a California code, that it just doesn't make sense to say that. So that can't be entertained. But I do think the members thought to be moved forward by saying we wouldn't have two managers. So theoretically, the salary that we are paying the current manager would limit us to that amount. And I would tell you that it's one of the lowest salaries that we pay any interim or any general manager. So your candidate would reflect that. They always say you pay for what you get. Now, having said that, I also think you need to be very mindful, because I haven't heard it lately, and I'm glad I did, because that buzzword was just thrown around so easily in the last 2 or 3 years, called lawsuits. Haven't heard it lately, and I'm glad about that. But I would caution you that you could open this foundation up to lawsuits, and I will bring this to the personnel committee, to the Finance Committee as well as the PNB, because when you go out hiring someone or having this process, implying that you do have money to pay this individual, then hire this individual, have this individual to move or whatever the case may be, leave their employer. Then they come, and a month or two later, we surely don't have the money to pay personnel staff, which we run across almost month to month. Then I probably would sue you, because you could have, you had a right and a responsibility to tell me what the financial situation was. You knew it, but you didn't disclose it to me. So you need to be mindful of that.
Thank you, Dwayne. Bill? And guys, we're out of time, by the way.
That's okay. Never mind.
Okay. So I will start the process by sending out a list of questions tomorrow. People can weigh in on that. And we will plan to meet on the 20th, and I will be in communication with those that have not executed their confidentiality agreements so I can make sure that I get those taken care of. And we'll see what happens on the 20th. So thank you, everybody.
A question or point of information?
Yes.
So are we not going to meet next week to at least go over questions? Or we're just going to do that by email to the people who have filled in the or returned the signed confidentiality agreement?
That was the plan. They have until the 13th to come up with questions, and then we can send them back and forth via email. There's a lot that we can do via email.
Okay.
So
thank you, everyone.
Thank you,
all
Sandra.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra.
Bye.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Sandra.